Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples of John, and therefore John, had a conundrum. And that is this: John, who at once had been a famous, celebrated preacher, has now for some time been languishing in Herod's dungeon for the sin of telling Herod's adulterous wife and Herod the adulterer that their union was unlawful and improper. And that's what got his head removed from him. So John is in prison. John has urged his followers to follow Jesus. He has said that Jesus is the one who comes after me, who is mightier than I. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie his shoes. He said of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But the disciples of John the Baptist were reluctant. They were reluctant, first of all, because they felt loyalty to John. And they didn't want to, and especially now in John's darkest hour, they didn't want to abandon him and go off and follow Jesus when their teacher and their instructor is languishing in a dungeon. But there's also a second reason why they are reluctant to follow Jesus. And that is this: Jesus doesn't seem to be doing the things that they had always thought the Messiah would do. According to popular Jewish understanding, based loosely on certain passages in the Old Testament, the Jews believed that when the Messiah came, he would raise up a holy army against the Roman Empire, and he would defeat all of the Gentiles and make Israel the ruler of all the nations, which would serve the Messiah and Israel, the people of the Messiah. Jesus didn't seem, not only did he not seem to be heading in that direction, but he seemed to have no interest in anything like that. Ever since they were little squeakers, that's all they ever heard about the Messiah. When he comes, he will raise up a mighty army. He will reign as king. He will destroy his enemies and our enemies, and he will exalt us, and we will experience the kingdom of God on earth. And now along comes Jesus, and he's not doing that stuff. And so the disciples of Jesus, of John the Baptist, are like, I don't know. Now, there was a theological question that was current among the Jews of that day. And that is that the Old Testament does have two separate pictures of the Messiah. It has the suffering servant of Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. Who has borne our griefs and our sorrows, who was punished for our transgressions. There is that picture of the Messiah in the Old Testament. But there is also, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end," right? So there are these two pictures. And so some of the Jews believed that there would be two messiahs. There would be one messiah to be the suffering servant, and then there would be another messiah who would be the royal king. There was much confusion about this. Jesus taught his disciples, and the apostles of the New Testament have taught us, that first Messiah comes to redeem the world by his suffering and death. And then on the last day, he returns to judge the quick and the dead. And that is the summary of the teaching of the New Testament about the Messiah, and how do you make sense of these two pictures in the Old Testament. But there was much confusion among the people in that day. And so here's Jesus doing his thing. And the disciples of John the Baptist are like, so John in prison, he knows what they need to hear. And he knows they need to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. So he sends them to Jesus to ask them the question that is on everyone's mind. Are you he who should come? Or should we be looking for another one? And that is the question that John sends his disciples to ask Jesus. Why? Because that's the thing that's causing them to be hesitant and reluctant and unsure. And where should we go when we are unsure, hesitant, and reluctant? We should go to Jesus, and we should hear from the Lord Jesus the word of the gospel that replaces our hesitancy with confidence in the word of the Lord. And where does the Lord Jesus speak to us as he spoke to the disciples of John? He does so through the prophecies of the Old Testament. He does so through his public teachings, and he does so through the inspired mouths of the holy apostles and evangelists. In other words, he does so in the Bible. All right? Jesus talks to us in the Bible, and he talks to us for our instruction, for our rebuke, for our correction, for our instruction in righteousness, and for our comfort. All right? And so today, we want to listen to what does Jesus say to the disciples of John. He knows that John is not having doubts. John is a tough old bird, right? And he's not having doubts. He knows that John has sent the disciples to him to hear from him what is the answer to their doubts. So, he says, Jesus said to them, go and show John again those things which you hear and see. And then he says this, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. All right, let's take that apart. The first part in verse 5, the first part of verse 5 is a direct quotation from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. What is Isaiah saying in that chapter? He's speaking of the age of the Messiah, and that when the Messiah comes, certain things will happen. And among them, Isaiah says, the blind will receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. All right? And so those things will happen in abundance when the Messiah comes. So when you see these things happening, you know that the Messiah has come. So the first thing that Jesus does, he assures them, he says, look at the miracles that you've heard about and the miracles that you have seen. And draw the same conclusion that the divinely inspired prophet Isaiah drew, that when the Messiah comes, you will know it because he will do these things. But that's not all that Isaiah the prophet said. In the 61st chapter of Isaiah, in the first verse, it says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me," the word anoint, krio in Greek, is the word where we get Christos from, the anointed one. Jesus is the Christos, the anointed one. "The Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings," or to preach the gospel, "unto the meek," or the poor, right? "He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Pay careful attention to the phrase, "He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek," or the poor. Because back in Matthew ends verse 5 by saying, "And the poor have the gospel preached to them." So here, Jesus takes two prophecies from Isaiah the prophet, who, by the way, is the chief of the prophets in the Old Testament. Isaiah is numero uno. He is the Beatles of Old Testament prophecy, okay? 50 years later, and nobody has yet matched that, all right? So Isaiah is the same way. He's numero uno, all right? And so, two prophecies, Isaiah 35, the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, the dead are all healed, and Isaiah 61, "The poor have the gospel preached unto them." And then there is one more Old Testament reference. It says in verse 6, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Now, notice the word blessed, all right? So Jesus is now describing who is it who is blessed? And he answers that question. Whoever is not offended in me. Now the word offended is a little bit general. The word here in the Greek is the word skandalon. Skandalon, it's where we get the word scandal from. Or when somebody is scandalized, right? Oh, right? But what it really means is the word skandalon in Greek is the name for the trigger on a death trap. So, you know, when a soldier is walking out in the field and he steps on a landmine and he depresses the trigger on the landmine so that when he steps off, he gets blown to bits. That the Greeks in the ancient times used to call the trigger on a trap a skandalon. So to be offended means to be made to fall away from the faith and perish. And so Jesus is saying to the disciples of John, he's saying, you, by your reluctance and your hesitancy are putting yourself in danger of being lost. And you need to recapture what I am saying to you so that you are not scandalized, so that you are not caused to fall away from the faith and perish. Jesus is also referring to Isaiah chapter 8. Listen to what it says here. In Isaiah chapter 8, it says, "Sanctify the Lord God, and let him be your fear, and let him be your judge." Don't be afraid of your enemies. Don't be afraid of the armies of your opponents. What you should be afraid of, what you should fear, is the Lord God. Let him be your fear and your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, a place of safety. He, the Lord, will be your place of safety. But he will be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. All right? And he will be a gin and a snare for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and snared and be taken. All right? So he says, for those who believe in the Lord, this is Isaiah now, for those who believe in the Lord and wait for him and fear him, he will be a sanctuary, a place of salvation and safety. But for the rest, he will be a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many shall stumble and fall. Jesus is saying to the disciples of John, come on, boys, you don't want to be that guy, right? He's saying, blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. So kind of to summarize here, what he's saying to the disciples of John is, look, have patience. All will become clear. You see the definite signs of the presence of the Messiah here. Let that be enough for you for now. And if you continue to trust in me, you will be blessed as you eventually see everything fulfilled. Remember, even the 12 apostles didn't really get the whole thing until after Jesus' resurrection. And when they first heard about the resurrection of Jesus, they didn't believe it. Mary Magdalene and the other women came and said, we saw the Lord Jesus. And they said, ah, women, right? Crazy. So even they didn't, and the Lord rebuked them for their stubbornness and their hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen from the dead. So even the apostles didn't believe the message that they were eventually going to expect other people to believe in. So they knew what it was like to doubt the truth, right? So Jesus here says, these are the Isaianic signs of the Messiah. You see and hear them happening in me. Hang in there and don't take offense. Believe in me and all will eventually become clear. One of the interesting things as you read further in the book of Acts after the Gospels are over, you never really, except for one time, ever hear reference to the disciples of John the Baptist again. Because eventually they all became followers of Jesus and therefore they became Christians. And so today, we have often come to those places of hesitancy, confusion, and reluctance. The whole world around us, all the people we like and look up to, they think that the Christian faith is idiocy. And our culture has become outwardly anti-Christian. And we're looking around and going, gee, you know, it's not very popular to be part of this Christian thing anymore. It's not, you know, it's not comfortable like it once was when everybody was a member of a church. Now almost nobody that you meet goes to church, right? Our culture has changed, and for the worst. And so we are often filled like, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing? We're going to church. We're listening to the stuff that nobody else believes in. And we have to have opinions about things in the world that go completely against all of our best friends and even our family members. They all think this one thing over here, but because I follow Jesus, I have to think in an entirely different way. And so we are often reluctant. We're often a little bit scared. We're often a little bit hesitant, you know. Is this stuff really true? So Jesus here directs us to his word. He directs us with our concerns and our weaknesses to come to him. And he will replace our reluctance with confidence in him. As we hear the word of the Lord, he will remake us, comfort us, instruct us, and cause us to rejoice that he has come with his help and with his grace. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.